Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. And after an interesting Baku weekend, that place normally always causes fuckery. And I was thinking, it's not going to happen this time. We're going to have a clean Baku. All of a sudden, lap 50. Well, we'll get onto it. I'm going to save it. But for now, if you are watching us on TikTok, Instagram, or do we put our clips on Twitter? We should. We're going to put our clips on Twitter. Now, just so that makes a bit of sense, we are still an audio-only podcast. But what we are doing is recording every episode so we can actually upload physical clips again, make it a little bit more interesting. We've obviously got a little bit quiet on the social media side of things recently, but we are bringing it all back, which means we have to sit in like this stinking hot room.
This brings back the days.
Yeah, it's like it's really toasty in here. This is the warmest room in the house anyway, because it's at the back of the house. I've got a south facing garden, and this literally gets the sun all day. We've got that ring light beating down on us. But do check us out on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Racecast. You'll find us, because we are going to start posting more content, and you will be able to see our lovely faces. Wherever you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I realistically think they're probably the only two places. Give us 5 stars. Make sure you follow us. It really does help the podcast out. And we're climbing the charts. We are climbing the charts.
We are.
I actually saw... Did you get the email through today?
Yeah.
Something about like... We're moving up the charts in like society and culture.
Are we?
Open the email. So I look at this every week just because I find it like really funny where we like when we crop up in like a random country, it's like all of a sudden we're number one in Bermuda, and it's like it's probably because one person has listened to us.
Let me have a look.
But today,
so
I checked this email, and I swear it said like we're 137 in like society and culture in British.
So it says we've gone up to 123 for Apple Great Britain Fantasy Sports. Unfortunately, we've gone out of Fantasy Sports in Australia. Oh. Gutted.
Well, come on, you Aussies.
It doesn't tell me on here that there is...
Maybe it's on mine. Let me pull mine up.
It does not say anything about culture.
No, Chartable Digest, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, look. Apple Podcast, Great Britain, Society and Culture. We're number 79. We've moved up 86 places in the last week.
Mate, that's the wrong podcast.
Oh, that's waffling. What the hell?
Because that's why I'm looking at it going, mate, it definitely doesn't tell me on there that I'm there.
That's waffling.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, so, that's moved up 86 places all because we dropped a trailer.
Oh, really? Talking about waffling, firstly, congratulations. I know this, we'll get onto F1 in a second, but obviously it's been announced. I've known for a while it's in the works, and it's exciting for you. I'm very excited for you.
And it's been kind of fun for me because I've been like toying with people on social media where like they would like, I'd comment on like something that Joe posted, like, or something saying like, bring the podcast back or something, or I'd share something on Twitter, or if I posted something, someone would like comment something. And like I'd reply, not like at all giving away that we're bringing it back, but something just to like kind of fuck with them. And like people would DM me, and then I started fucking with them as well. And then like, so a lot of the DMs I got on Sunday when the trailer dropped was like, you fucker, like you knew all along. Yeah. And I was like, I did.
But the thing is, like, I'm really excited for you. I think it's great. Obviously, you know, I have an issue with the trailer.
Why?
You know, from a co-host on, you know, this podcast, I don't think we saw enough of you in the trailer.
Yeah, well, I think that was probably...
No, it's outrageous.
That might have been due to my acting skills.
I mean, yes. Just talk about it quickly.
I looked good while I was running.
You were a janitor.
Those bastards. I wasn't there on that call, right? Where, at least I don't think I was, because...
I've never seen you mop a floor before, mate.
I would never.
No.
When I was in Pakistan, I got food poisoning. And, you know, I was a little bit unwell, as you are, with food poisoning. And there was a call that took place that evening where, like, I couldn't do anything. I was fucked. And then the next call that I have with like the fellas, because obviously we're now part of the fellas studios.
Yeah.
They were like, oh yeah, we'll run you through the storyboard for the trailer. And it was like, oh yeah, well, you know, then Luke sweeping the floor in his janitor's outfit. And I'm like, whoa. What am I doing? Who signed off on that? I was like, that's my actual life. They're just mocking it. They're just like, they've got no idea what I've been doing because they're so disinterested. They just assume I've been a bin man for the last 2 years. It's just, like, it's not the case. But so apparently, yeah, that's my life now. And that's what they think I've been doing. So
you're going to give up the job now? Now you've gone back to waffling?
What job?
Well, the cleaner, the janitor.
Yeah, like, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I've been running a business on the side. I did say I took a year off. You know, I took a long time off. Primarily because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But, yeah, it is coming back. And I think that's part of the reason, like, I want to get this set up a little bit. Like I said, we're part of the fellas now. And you go to the setup. And it's like, wow, like, this is proper.
It's a different level, I can imagine.
Yeah, it is. But, like, it's a different level to what waffling ever was. Like, waffling is not too dissimilar to what this entire setup is. And, you know, back when we did actually film it and put it on YouTube, like, we had pretty much the same setup. We had an editor. We had cameras. I think if we can at least pump out clips... Because the thing is, what I'm not going to go out and do is buy like a second camera.
No.
Just to film this. Unless it is going to eventually start making money. Hmm. But I think like that's probably what like the start of this is. If we can start pumping clips out and they actually perform well and they grow the podcast numbers, then, you know, it's worth investing in. But yeah, it's like inspiring being around there. So that's why.
But I'm excited for you. You know, it's exciting. Obviously, it was a big part of your life for quite a period of time.
Yep.
And obviously, seeing you, you know, grow and go from that, it's good. But yeah, I didn't see enough of you in the trailer. So, a bit disappointed on that. There was no F1 themed in it, which is...
But there is in the studio, there is a little W12.
Is there?
There is, yeah.
I'll rate that. Just to get like a... Why don't you just take the big race car sign? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
I think you have that.
Oh, yeah, shit, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. But anyway, really happy for you. Congratulations. And the first episode out is this Saturday? Sunday.
So this goes out Wednesday. Yeah.
Well, we say that. It all depends on when Luke remembers to put it out.
Ah, yeah. No, that is problematic. I should just, like, get it sorted straight after. But it's because normally, like... We film at weird times because you have work and you finish kind of late.
Which has been weird because the last 3 weeks I've actually been off on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of we're filming earlier than normal today, which is good.
Should keep it that way.
Well, I'm trying. Mm. I'm trying. Right, let's get into some F1 news. Obviously, last week I gave you some facts.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a quiz for you to start off with. I quite like this type of stuff.
Yeah, we like these. Join in at home.
So, Lewis Hamilton has raced over 100,000 kilometres in F1.
Yep, I heard that on the commentary.
That equals to almost 57.5 million times the length of himself.
That's an interesting one.
Yep. More than 17.5 million lengths of a current F1 car.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 10.5 million times of Big Ben.
Wow, really?
Yep. I like it because they put, on the edit, they've put cars up against Big Ben, like all of his Mercedes.
But they're not to scale.
No, they're not
that
to scale.
That confused me a little bit.
More than 300,000 times of the Eiffel Tower.
Nice.
And almost
3,000 times?
300,000
times. I was going to say, Eiffel Tower's not that big, I've seen it.
No, and almost 30,000 laps of Monaco. Almost 17,000 laps of Silverstone. Almost 15,000 times the Las Vegas Strip.
Wow.
That's mad.
Yeah, that's quite a big strip.
More than 800 times the length of all 2024 circuits combined.
800.
So more than 800 times the length of all 2024 circuits combined.
Whose job was it to figure all this out?
I don't know. Do you know what
shit day at work that must have been.
Actually, they posted it on the F1 official.
Yeah.
So, but I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's your job.
Yeah.
I mean, if that was my job, I'd be quite happy with that.
It's easy.
But,
no, like,
but that's what I mean. I'd quite be happy.
It's a bit boring, isn't it?
About 25 times the width of Australia.
I thought you said this as a quiz.
When, yeah, no,
is it
was.
A quiz or are you just
I'm
repeat?
Just telling you, basically.
Do we? When do we get to, like, the ending?
Well, to be honest, I don't... More than... Well, there's three more left. About 15 and a half times the Amazon River. 2.5 laps around the world. And more than a quarter of the way to the moon.
That is interesting. Yeah, will he make it halfway to the moon by the end of his career?
There you go. Facts. Right. F1 news. Before we get into the race. I don't know how to feel about this. Okay. So Zak Brown has come out.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said, this current season, 2024 season, is better than the 2021 season with Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen.
That, what a load of shit. That is a load of shit.
It is. Granted, when you look at it on the other side, it probably is for him because McLaren
level.
Are doing very well. However, if you're looking at a, you know, entertainment factor and, you know, great seasons, nothing beats the 21 season.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
He's deluded. If he genuinely thinks he is deluded, I completely agree with your point. For him, on a personal level, of course it's going to be. Like, the achievement of McLaren finally overtaking Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship. I mean, McLaren actually leading the Constructors' Championship.
Yep.
Probably the first time, definitely the first time, since Lewis Hamilton left the team. But to say this is a better season than 2021... is ridiculous. And it may be better in the sense, well, yeah, we've got more winners.
Yeah.
That makes it a little bit more interesting. And I agree, this season has actually been decent. I'm not saying this season's been bad. 2021 was electric. It was... The rivalry was insane. Every single race you sat down for. Granted, maybe only as a Lewis and Max fan, but I do think towards the end of the season, or even like from halfway, it really got exciting just for everyone.
Every F1 fan was... They were involved in that.
Yeah, the whole season was captivating. Yeah. You know, it really didn't matter who you were a fan of at that point, because it was like, okay, well, look, this is a battle for the ages, and it's nasty, it's elite. It was like, it wasn't this like Benny Hill battle that like Lando Norris has got going on, where he just has been literally given so many opportunities to close this gap to Max Verstappen.
Yep.
And he cannot do it. So it's not a better season. This is a good season. I will back that. I think next season could be a great season.
Yeah.
But 2021 is one of the all-time great seasons. So let's not get it twisted.
No, and just touching on that. What makes a great season? That 21 season, obviously, you had the battle, as we've discussed, I think we even discussed last week. Does it make it a better season if you have more race winners? Or does it make it a better season if you have such a, you know, intense championship battle?
Yeah, I think it makes it even better when it's both.
Yeah.
Right? I think we often refer to... Was it 2012 where you had five people going for the championship?
Yeah.
And did Lewis have the engine failure in Singapore or something?
Yep.
You know, a great season. It's really about the battle for the title. Mm. If you've got five people going for the title, like really going for the title, like Max and Lewis were going for the title in 2021, I mean, that's just going to... That would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there's also something about seeing two individuals go head to head. It's like man to man. Literally putting everything into it. Going for the most like sought after prize in motorsport. It just doesn't compare. And yep, you know, we've had more race winners this season. But they're not really racing for anything at this point.
No.
Because now my money would be on Max Verstappen. And I think I said a few weeks ago, maybe it's before the summer break, I would actually probably have my money on Lando Norris.
And I said the opposite because and you know, I did. I was pretty open in the fact. Let's just touch on this. I know we'll get onto the race and later on and everything. This weekend was another great example of why Lando Norris will not be a world champion.
Well, do you think that's fair to say?
He
got caught out by what he thought was a yellow flag.
But what I mean, I'm not just talking about Lando, I'm talking about the team. The team's not giving him what they need.
Yeah, but the team won. Oscar won the race.
Yes.
And Lando, damage control.
He did
damage
great.
Limitation.
He did great.
He got P4.
Yeah.
You can't really fault Lando's race at all.
No.
I think he was unfortunate in the qualifying scenario.
100%. And, you know, he was really unlucky there. But what I mean by this is that, you know, Oscar Piastri, okay, has won the same number of races as Lando Norris. Okay. Lando Norris, I still stand by what I've said before. Oscar Piastri will win a championship before Lando Norris. That race he did this weekend was phenomenal. He handled the pressure. He's composed. He's growing with confidence. He's 18 months into his F1 career, and he's already won two races and a sprint race last year. This is a driver who is just oozing confidence now. He doesn't get phased. He can deal with the pressure. However, you look on the other side of that, Lando Norris, phenomenal driver, take nothing away from him. He's won the same number of races as Oscar Piastri. He just can't handle the pressure. And I'm not just talking about this weekend in Baku. And he did a great job to get back to fourth. Brilliant, as you said, damage limitations. But there's been many opportunities that he should have taken. He's an experienced racing driver.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He should have been taking some of these chances a lot longer, a lot more throughout this season. But for me, Oscar Piastri is just starting to gain that confidence. He's looking more and more as a complete driver. And I generally believe he will become a world champion before Lando Norris.
I don't know.
I know now we're filming this, and I'll put this out as a clip, and I'm probably going to get absolutely battered. But I don't care. Because for me, watching Oscar Piastri this weekend, and I like Oscar Piastri, and I think he's great. But watching him race, I mean, we'll get onto his overtake.
His overtake was really good.
His
defensive driving was unbelievable. Yeah. It was so good. He had that car positioned perfectly every single time. And I know there are a few controversies with the McLaren, but he could not have driven any better,
no,
honestly.
But he's been showing that. You look in Monza, he got a P2. You know, he is a driver that is... In theory, he's still a rookie as such. You know, he's in his second season, but he's just looking more and more complete week after week. And you got Charles Leclerc there, who is a very experienced driver, who got massively caught out by that, you know, dive bomb from Piastri. And he could not do anything with
him. I mean, Charles didn't even try and close the door on him.
No. And I think he could. I don't think he was expecting him at all. He had the race in line. He thought he had it there. I don't think he was expecting.
He did dive from quite far back, to be fair.
It was like Max Verstappen-esque type dive bomb we saw in Abu Dhabi in 21. But I just generally think at this moment in time, and I know people think I'm a Lando Norris basher. I'm really not. I just think he just can't handle the pressure in certain areas. You know, so we discussed this back in, you know, when did he win his second race? Where was his second race he won? Hungary? No.
No, Oscar won. Because
where was his second?
He had to give it back to Oscar.
Yeah. The Dutch Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah. You know, but there, he raced well.
Granted, but Red Bull weren't at the races at all on that one. Mercedes
Max
weren't.
Max was leading it.
Okay, yeah, but that...
Oscar couldn't close up.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of factors. But what I'm saying is, from the Dutch Grand Prix, realistically, you put money on... I would have actually probably even put money on the fact that Lando Norris would probably go on and win every other race since then. And he hasn't.
Oh, I think... Yeah, you could have argued that point from sort of Miami, really.
Yeah.
I mean... The fact that he has only won two races, but I what I will say is we can't just say the fact Lando has only won two races.
No.
You could argue the fact Oscar has only won two races in this McLaren.
But he is expected to only win... Yeah. He is expected to win less races than Lando Norris this year.
But not your expectations.
No, I still...
Because you said from last season you think Oscar's better than Lando.
I still stand by that, and, you know...
But, so let's have a fair sort of attack at McLaren. I can't believe McLaren have only won four races.
Yeah, no. This season, you know, it's...
They should have won Silverstone. Strategy fucked them up.
They should have won Monza.
They should have won Monza.
You know, there's many races since they became dominant that they should have taken control of. And this is a team that is in transition. They're not used to being in this type of position. However,
surely they could have also won Spa. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't really dominant that weekend at all. Yes, in theory, they should have. But watching them there, their pace and everything, the Mercedes were far greater. But I think when you look at the team as a whole, the worrying thing for McLaren is they will go on and win the Constructors this year, which is fantastic.
Barcelona.
Yes, exactly. You know, McLaren will go on and win the Constructors this year, which is, for the team, which is brilliant. That's where the brings in the money.
That is a huge step up. Like, what a glow up for McLaren.
100%. However, for them to be able to go away and say they have an opportunity to have a driver who will become an F1 world champion, I don't think they're going to have a better year than this year. You know, next year, you're going to be in a position where Ferrari are looking stronger.
Yeah.
You know, Mercedes potentially will come back. McLaren will still be strong.
Yeah.
Red Bull potentially might sort it out and come back because they said that they found what their issues are.
Yeah, Horner was saying it was to do with a floor update, was it?
Interestingly, the floor update was from back in 2023, but because the car was so dominant, that's where you started to see the downgrade in Perez. So Perez last year in Spain, I think it was, they changed the floor. He started to suffer, but Max, he was so dominant, he didn't suffer.
Yeah.
So apparently they've had this issue since last year, but now because other cars are getting more dominant, they've noticed it more, it's become more effective.
Interesting.
Look at me, I actually sound like I know, I've actually done some, you know, research this week. But next year is a big year because I'm expecting it to be a very, very challenging year because we always get a challenging year before we get a change in regulations. McLaren as a whole, there'll be a lot of learning that they've taken away from Andrea Stella and Zak Brown. I think they've done a phenomenal job. They have.
But don't you think also, I mean, because this kind of ties into the McLaren controversy that has sort of been lingering to do with flexi wings, right?
Hmm.
We've seen all the flexi front wings.
Did I send that in the chat? I think I did, no.
I don't know.
I sent it in the WhatsApp chat. But yeah.
What has, not allegedly, but what has come out of this weekend is that McLaren seemed to have a flexi rear wing.
And it's very, very evident.
It's very evident. And I'm not suggesting that this is against the rules of regulations. I literally couldn't tell you. I don't read them. And I never will. Until someone comes out and explicitly says these are against the regulations. Yeah. Then I'll tell you.
What team do you think is actually going to put in an appeal?
Red Bull. But at this point, you know, all the teams might.
Yeah.
Because essentially, if you don't know what we're talking about, under load, when the car is, you know, at high speeds, the wings are allowed to flex, right?
Yep.
A certain amount. So we've all seen the controversy between the Mercedes and McLaren front wings,
yep,
where they flex quite a bit harder than the Red Bulls and Ferraris, but they've been tested. It's all within the regulations.
They're all legal.
Now, what I don't think we expected was actually the rear wing. The rear wing on the McLaren it goes down a lot. There was a video of a grid, and it was comparing... Was it the Red Bull and the McLaren? Or it might have been the Ferrari.
It was Ferrari, McLaren and Red Bull.
Okay. And basically, the McLaren wing seemed to sort of flex a lot more under load. But interestingly, it kind of widened the little gap where the DRS side? Flap is. So DRS was closed.
Yeah.
But like, as it went under load, that gap kind of increased a little bit. And the ends bent up, didn't they? Creating
more
two little gaps, yeah. Right? Now, we all know that DRS works because you're essentially reducing the drag. You open that rear wing and more air can pass through it. It's not sort of stopping it.
Yeah.
So obviously, if they're able to sort of, within the regulations, create a little bit more of a gap to reduce drag when they're driving quick in a straight line, that's going to give them better top speed. Now, we actually saw that this weekend. The McLaren's top speed from memory was about 320 kilometers an hour while DRS was closed. I believe Ferrari was about 317 and Red Bull was 316.
I think Ferrari was around 318, 319. So it wasn't that much of a difference. Red Bull, though, was 316.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Red Bull evidently still had the advantage when they opened that DRS.
Yeah.
No one's still been able to figure out how that Red Bull DRS is so effective.
No.
But I think the reason we couldn't see Leclerc close up to Piastri in the way that he needed to was because Piastri had that little advantage on him from when the DRS wasn't open on either car, because he was getting that reduced drag and he had that little bit extra top speed. See, that Leclerc just couldn't get close enough out of the final corner.
I was initially thinking it was because he was dumping his ERS.
Oscar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously...
Which I'm sure he was, but yeah. Leclerc would have been as well.
The great thing about the Baku track is obviously... because it's a lot of braking, it's a lot of, you know, slow corners, all of that stuff. That's how you boost your energy.
Yeah, there's a lot of good energy recovery.
So through sector one, sector two, you can build up quite a lot of energy. So then that's when I was like, in sector three, I was expecting him just to just dump it. That's where he was getting the thing. But seeing this come out, there is obviously is an advantage. I don't know how drastic that advantage is. And it's, we'll only know if, you know, they investigate it and go from there. But the fact that there is an advantage without DRS, you could question that's something to be looked at. But yeah, again...
But if it's within the regulations, and now here's my point. You talk about this being McLaren's chance. This is their opportunity. This is their time to get a World Drivers' Championship. Mm. We know they're getting the constructors. That's fine. It's established. The Drivers' Championship is the pinnacle, right? Yep. You want a world champion driver. If this is legal, I feel like the other cars have a good enough base. And if that is something that makes a significant difference, which it will be, the other teams are going to start employing it. You know, it's not going to take them long to cotton on.
Come 2025, that's potentially, you know.
You know, arguably even this season, you'd likely see the introduction of them if they're deemed legal.
Yeah.
So, you know, that window is limited in theory. I just think this is... But I feel like their chance to win a Drivers' Championship has already gone.
Yeah, I mean, what we've got, 7 races left?
Yeah.
We discussed, what, two races ago that actually Lando Norris, or, you know, even Monza, Lando Norris needed to win those races to be able to go... You know, I'm in a championship fight here. I mean, in my opinion, those have been wasted.
And don't forget, Silverstone was such an important one.
Mm.
He should have won that race.
Yeah.
He came third.
And
finished behind Max Verstappen.
We're going into a weekend, which is, you know, Singapore, which is unpredictable. We know, realistically, this is not a Red Bull track.
Yeah. Although, the Red Bull was the fastest car in the slow corners this weekend at Baku.
It was.
But it's all depending on how cars are set up. We know that McLaren is very good in the slow speed, and when it's set up.
But we also know that Red Bull in the heat with degradation is pretty poor at times.
Yeah.
And Singapore is historically known as a very hot track.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be very warm.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm not expecting Red Bull to do things this weekend. I think it's going to be a very tough weekend for Red Bull. But I think you've got the likes of Ferrari and Mercedes, who, again, historically are quite strong at this track, who will be in the mix. If Lando Norris doesn't get a win this weekend, for me, he's completely out.
Oh.
I mean, I'm 50%, 40% confident he may win a championship, but other than that...
Yeah, no, Lando has to win this weekend, I think, to keep his championship alive, especially if Max finishes low down.
Yeah. It's damage limitations, and like Max said, he lost, what, 3 points this weekend. Lando got the fastest lap. In theory, Max lost 3 points. That could have been a lot worse.
Max is not going to lose a wink of sleep over that.
No. Quickly, other news, just before we get on talking about the race, and I know we've kind of delved into bits of it. Liam Lawson is set to be promoted and secure a full-time seat for RB for 2025. That's apparently meant to be announced at the Singapore Grand Prix.
Who's losing their seat?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't say who. I can't see it being Tsunoda. So my likes is it's going to be Danny Ric.
It would seem unfair to be Yuki Tsunoda.
Yep. Also, Franco Colapinto, solid weekend this weekend.
Yeah, solid weekend. Did you see him fanboying over
Lewis Hamilton? Yeah. Which is great.
No, it is great. And like Ollie Bearman did the same.
Yeah.
And can you blame them? I mean,
no. You've grown up watching this. This is like a. I mean, I think.
And the world champion, like seven-time world champion, like then when they were young, Lewis was dominating the sport. Yeah. And presumably he would have been, particularly for Ollie Bearman, right? A young British boy. He would have been straight on to Lewis Hamilton when he was young. I mean, how old is Ollie Bearman? 18?
Yeah.
It was for what? He was born in like 2006, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like by the time he might have only really...
Well, he was just about to come into McLaren.
Yeah, he might have like only really consumed F1 while Lewis was at Mercedes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
8 years old.
Quick question. See, there's not many people I would like fanboy over. Like, there's, you know, if I met someone, you know, I'd be like, okay, cool. You know, there's not many people in the world who I'd be like that. I do think Lewis Hamilton, I don't think I'd fanboy over, but I'd be a bit like, whoa, shit, like this is, you know, Lewis Hamilton, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be sick. I've been in the same room as him before.
Have you?
I have, yeah. I went to the Loris Sports Awards and we were in like the lobby and Lewis was there.
You didn't go over?
Well, he had a big entourage.
I was
very hungover.
That doesn't surprise me. Who would you fanboy over? Is there anyone in the world sport-wise?
Well, I met Steven Gerrard.
I mean, okay. And you fanboy over him?
Device overheated. Oh, that's a new one. Yes, obviously. Steven Gerrard. I'm a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, okay.
So I met Steven Gerrard.
Get a bit sweaty? Did you get a bit like...
Yeah, I love you. I was kind of young at the time, so like I was...
I couldn't
get my words out.
You're really good at football.
He was. I met Matt Healy, lead singer of the 1975, walking through a park.
Okay, nice.
That was fucking random. And I've been to see them like twice the year before, once a year before that, and then once a year before that. So that was really like...
Did you speak to him?
Yeah. I was kind of like stopped and just like looked at him and was like, what the... He had his AirPods in, so he pulled him out. He's just like, you're right, mate. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was so like... I was just walking through a park in Hackney. Like, during Christmas time. And I was just like, what the... Like, I probably listened to him, like, in the car on the way up there. And then the one person who would, like... I probably wouldn't be able to get any words out would be John Mayer.
Oh, really?
That would be, like, my number one. I don't know what I would do.
See, I think I'd be like that with Lewis Hamilton. Not get my words out. I'd just be a bit like, I'd probably say...
What about Michelle Kuipers?
I can't beat Michelle Kuipers. Met him. Met him already.
Hmm?
Met him already.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like being exposed to like the boys, like Joe and Theo, I've actually met like quite a large handful of famous people.
Yeah. You have, haven't you? You've done quite a lot.
Yeah. Like, you know, like I've met like a lot of famous YouTubers. you know, even like KSI, like that was when I was in like, what would it have been, like 2011, so like year 11, I would have been 15. You know, I watched him, Cal Freezy, and like now Waffling is part of the Fellas.
Yeah.
So we work with him essentially. But like, obviously, I've like known Cal for a long time now, and it's like,
I used Cal, you know, as users, you know, it's not Cal Freezy anymore.
Well, even his viewers call him Cal. But like, I used to watch his, like his Liverpool series on FIFA. It would have been like FIFA 12 or something like silly like that. And then yeah, like, you know, through different things, like I've met whoever, like Jamie Carragher and silly things like that. So it's sort of like, not, what's the word? I guess it like desensitizes you a little bit.
Yeah.
Where previously I would have thought like different, meeting different famous people, I would have been like, what the hell? Mm. And like initially I was like that, but now it's a little bit more like normal. But there are like, you know, Lewis, John Mayer, Steven Gerrard was one of them.
Yeah.
That was like crazy.
What about
and Matt Healy was also one of them, because that, you know,
Luis Suarez,
that'd be sick. But again, I don't think I'd be like all like panicky and
Messi.
Liam Gallagher, to be fair.
Yeah.
No, Messi again, because for me it's more about who do I look up to.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain people where I'm like, you know, like Lewis, I'm fucking cheering for him every weekend. John Mayer has like been my idol since I was
Logan
like
Sargent.
16. Yeah, that was Nicholas Latifi. But yeah,
interesting. Do let us know. Sorry, random question. Other news. Franco Colapinto, which I've just said. Have I just said this?
I started to, didn't I? I heard that he's now shortlisted for a seat next season.
Well, with who? My question is where? Because the only ones that are available are Stake. Stake and RB. There's no one else that has a team.
Well, it's not going to be RB, so it would have to be Sauber. Have you seen what the article says?
No, let me have a look.
Because that might help. Realistically, you know, it's not going to be Williams, because they've got Albon and they've got
Sanchez. Sainz.
Who the hell is Sanchez?
Sainz.
Yeah, they've got Sainz and Albon. So.
Sanchez, where the fuck?
Yeah, I actually have no idea where that came from.
Sauber have been deliberating on their driver lineup since confirming a deal with Nico Hülkenberg in April.
Again, does it make sense? I'm going to go into this like, it's a little bit early. We saw the same thing with Nyck de Vries. Didn't end too well. He's a very experienced driver. But let's see. Is he worthy of a shortlist at this point? Probably. He had a great weekend in an F1 car. He scored points.
He did. Last week, we were discussing that, obviously, Bortoleto is...
Didn't he have a bit of a stinker on Saturday?
No, he's like leading the championship now. Hadjer had a stinker.
On Saturday, though, did Bortoleto not?
I don't know about Saturday. Sunday, both Compos drivers went out. Do you see the car that didn't get off the line?
No, I wasn't around to watch it, but I did. I saw the big crash.
Oh, you saw the crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because the car didn't get off the line.
Got you.
So they both went into him. So Hadjer was leading the championship in heading into this race, but it's actually now Bortoleto who's leading it.
Very good.
So it is, you know, it's an exciting championship.
I watched the sprint race on Saturday.
Nice.
And after the safety car.
Yeah.
It got very, very interesting. I think Antonelli and Paul Aron crashed into each other. They didn't crash out, but like there was contact into like turn whatever it is, three. It all got very hairy. I love F2. Like I think it's so exciting to watch.
I have been really impressed with this year. And like I said, you know, it's always about F1, but this year for some reason I've really got an interest in F2, and I've really taken more of I've looked into it. One thing can I just say with about F3, okay, when I was in Spa.
F3?
Yeah.
Jesus.
When I was in Spa, you know, there's like 30 cars in F3.
Wow, that's too many.
Tell me about it. There was like 12 laps. I haven't mentioned this before. So I think there's, correct me if I'm wrong, the 30 cars, when I, in Spa, when I was there, they had 12 laps. There was 4 safety cars during that period. There was literally like one lap of racing.
Yeah, you see, like if you've got 12 laps, you've got 30 cars, inevitably there's going to be contact a couple of times. It is just going to continually stop. Yeah,
it was mad.
Honourable mentions in F2 on Saturday. Mini, the guy who replaced Ollie Bearman for the weekend.
Got points.
Yeah, he had a great race. I think it was him and another guy who I can't remember his name started P1 and P2.
Yeah, I know which one you mean. I can't remember his name. Do you want me to have a look?
It begins with an M as well, I swear.
F2 Raptors, that's not what I'm looking for. Where are we? Hang on a second. Joshua Dirksen won the sprint race.
Yep, he did.
The feature race was Richard Vasseur.
Maybe you need to look at like the results.
Yeah, I'm looking at the results, but the issue is they only give you 3 letters.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, that really just doesn't help.
It's not helpful
at all. It was that... Mansell. His name was Mansell.
Oh, how did you not get that one?
Well, because I forgot.
Oh.
Yeah, he did fall back a little bit, but solid weekend.
Solid weekend. No, F2 has been very good. If you haven't been watching it, I do recommend getting involved with it. Right, let's quickly go through Baku.
Yeah.
Let's skip through practice. I don't think there's much to talk about in practice. Let's get to qualifying. Qualifying, you didn't watch.
I wasn't around.
He wasn't around. I couldn't. Biggest shocks in Q1 was Lando Norris going out.
Yep.
I believe it was Ocon who was slowing down. There was white flags shown, but apparently yellow flags were shown on his dashboard.
Can someone explain to me what the hell a white flag is? Because you told me this earlier and I thought it meant Lando surrendering the title.
No. Well, he would have done that in Monza. A white flag is when there is a car that is going slow on track.
Interesting.
I've never seen it before.
Is it just me who like,
No,
I don't recall a white flag.
I've never seen it before. Well, I
mean, we're so getting called Drive to Survive.
Yeah, bring it on, whatever. Call us whatever. But Lando got caught out big time there. And also his engineer, you know, he couldn't do another lap. He got caught out. But one thing that was really interesting throughout this whole qualifying period was that after that, teams were much more on it in getting the cars out quick. They weren't kind of, they've seen what happened. You know, Lando Norris's lap time wasn't great in his first run in Q1. They thought they had enough time. They would have had enough in the tank to actually get through to Q2. However, with Baku, you just don't know. There's, but you know, it showed leading up in practice, there was a lot of crashes. Bearman had a crash. Colapinto had a crash. You know, all of these, Leclerc had a crash. There's very small margin for error in Baku. And, you know, they got caught out. McLaren got caught out from that. So after that, in Q2 and Q3, you just saw cars getting out quick. They were just getting out quick, trying to get a quick lap time in. But unfortunately for Norris, he was out in Q1, and that was obviously a big shock. Obviously, if you're a Red Bull, then you're kind of like, well, okay, this is decent. Very happy with that. Q2, nothing really major. Bearman just missed out. He was P11. He had a very solid weekend. He's a promising driver. You know, I think for him, he's very hard on himself. You know, the amount of times he called himself an idiot over the radio. Yeah. But I think this is his second F1 race. He needs to give himself a bit of credit. He did a great job.
Yeah.
And
he did great in the race as well.
Yeah, he did. Albon
got out qualified.
He did.
There was
in Q3. Yeah.
There was.
Was it Q3?
No, Albon went out in Q2. I believe.
Yep.
There was obviously a reason for this. I consider it a sackable offence.
It is laughable, really, isn't it?
If you don't know what we're talking about, obviously someone left like the fan on the car that like cools, you know, the intake above the head.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that. That it was quite literally ridiculous. And yeah, obviously it led to him being outqualified by teammate Colin Pinto, who put in, you know, a brilliant lap. He got that car into Q3, which doesn't this just sum up what they were missing the whole time? We always said Albon was doing a great job.
Yeah.
But, you know, Albon's not Max Verstappen. Albon's not Lewis Hamilton.
No.
You can get someone as good as Alex Albon. And I'm not saying Colin Pinto is the one, but Logan Sargeant would have never got that car into Q3, I think is my point.
No.
And they've shown what they can do with a driver who is able to extract performance from a car. They can actually end up getting both cars there.
Hang on. You made me question myself there. Both Williams got into Q3.
Oh, it was Q3.
So,
but he did get...
Yeah, oh no, on his, and, like, it was his last...
Yeah, yeah. And that's it, that's why, because it was literally with like 3 minutes to go or something, wasn't it?
It was
Q3.
It was,
I just said I didn't watch it, but I did watch the highlights back.
So, Colapinto, Pinto, Albon, solid weekend in qualifying. Yep. Hamilton again showing he's struggling over one lap.
Yeah,
a lot of this is due to tyre temperatures.
Yeah, he was getting frustrated, wasn't he? He came in and he said, we've got to get those tyre temps up. But can I just say, and I'm the first person that has denounced these like annoying, oh, it was this bad setup choice or whatever. Yeah. Toto Wolff did come out and say they did like a setup experiment on Lewis's car during the race. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what happened, whether this was during quali or whatever. Lewis's car was a piece of shit in the race.
Yep.
An absolute piece of shit. And if you watch onboards and compare them with George's, the struggle Lewis has in the corners, you know, Lewis couldn't even close up on the Haas. You know, he really struggled to get close to Ocon in the Alpine.
Oh, he was chasing Behrman Gasly for ages.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And there was evidently something wrong with that car. And if you watch the onboards, you will see it. Yeah. It's shocking. And you could, you know, he vented his frustration over the radio. The team were like, please just like get us over the line. We know it's so bad. We're sorry.
I'm still certain he is ready for the season to be done. He's ready for his next chapter. He's just like...
No, I completely agree. Yeah. This is kind of off topic, but it's on the topic of Lewis Hamilton. I was with someone earlier. I won't mention their name on the podcast. Who is from Seaford.
Yeah.
And their son works for Mercedes as an engineer.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, small world. He initially worked on Bottas's side of the garage, then went to like General, and now he works on Lewis's side. And he is going to Maranello with Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to Ferrari next year.
Decent.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, isn't it?
That is sick. How do we go with them?
No, so I was speaking to his dad, obviously, and he went to Silverstone this year, was in Mercedes Hospitality.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, decent.
And he was like, oh, I wasn't going to go, I wasn't feeling too well. But then, fuck that camera. But then decided, you know, like, I'm going to. And, yeah, then watched Lewis win. He said, like, everyone was, like, crying. It was so emotional.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought, how sick is that? So there are, I'm not sure if there's some or just one, but this engineer is going over.
Going.
And he's currently just been put on garden leave.
Oh.
He said, like, he knew it was coming, but obviously, because, hey, Lewis has already been phased out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. That's it. You know,
interesting.
I know everyone was sort of like hoping Bono went.
I am gutted Bono's not going.
Yep, me too.
Is he dead to us after the end of the season?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for
okay, sure, fine. Sure. Just finishing off qualifying. So, to be fair, up until the last lap, it was actually quite a solid weekend for Perez. We've given him a lot of stick, and he's been rightfully so. But he
had a great weekend. Yeah,
he was solid.
Out qualified Max Verstappen. He was 18-0.
Yep.
But you know, he's
brought it back.
Yeah, 18-1.
Charles Leclerc again. He's the king round here on qualifying day. That's four poles in a row in Baku.
He is the king of qualifying. He is the dirty rascal of racing, because he is just completely unable to convert that into a win.
He is. Race-wise, so Lewis Hamilton, I had missed this leading up to the race. So I sat down, I was busy all in the morning, didn't realise. Sat down, I was like, where the hell's Lewis? Like, I was
you didn't see.
I didn't see the announcement because I hadn't been on my phone all morning. So, yeah, I got back and I sat down. And I was like, where the hell's Lewis? I was really confused.
Well, because for those of you that maybe don't understand why this happened, Lewis initially took a new engine component. Yeah, I mean, it's probably just a new engine. That then meant he had to start from the back of the grid. What they then did was change his suspension setup.
Yeah.
And that meant that he then had to start from the pits.
Which makes perfect sense, really. I mean, look.
It doesn't. Because, I mean, if they changed it, whatever they changed, I mean, the car was awful.
I understand, with the engine going into the next part, it's... and just to confirm for people who don't know, the reason why they get a penalty for changing the engine is because they've already used their allocation for this year.
Yeah, they have a certain amount.
Isn't it like 3 or something, or 2 or 3? I can't remember how many it is.
It varies for the parts.
So I was really shocked. I was like, where is he? And then it made sense. Good start from Charles. Really solid start. I think he is one of the best on the grids for the starts. He's quite consistent with his starts off the line.
Yeah,
he's relatively good. Was not really much. I know Tsunoda got into a bit of trouble. He got clipped by Lance Stroll.
That move was never on, in my opinion, from Lance Stroll.
But apparently he closed it in.
He didn't. The move just wasn't on. And it was quite funny. I saw a tweet going around of someone like out there defending Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
And like had like an Aston Martin like profile picture. And it was doing the rounds, and like the top reply was like, holy shit, we finally found it. A Lance Stroll fan. And it did make me laugh. The replies to the tweet were well funny. But the move was never on,
in my opinion.
And I do think a lot of this sums up quite a lot of how Lance drives sometimes.
Yep.
Where he goes for things that aren't on, gets into a bit of trouble. And, you know, ultimately it ruined his race. Yeah. And I believe it ruined Tsunoda's race.
Well, Tsunoda ended up retiring.
Yeah.
Whether
that was to do with Lance's crash or not, I don't know. But
let's fast forward.
The race was relatively boring in a sense of, like, there wasn't a lot going on. Do you know what I mean? We sort of had... You had the Perez, Leclerc, Piastri saga going on the whole time. Obviously, we spoke about Piastri finally overtaking Leclerc, but that was kind of exciting. That kept you on the edge of your seat.
Just before that, it was Leclerc had about a 5-second gap before the first pit stop, because pretty much the top 10 cars started on the medium, some started on the hards. It was either you're either starting on a hard or a medium, and then, you know, that crossover. But Leclerc, what it did make sense to me is, obviously, Perez and Piastri, and they all came in for their pit stops. Leclerc was about 5 seconds ahead after that pit stop.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and he was literally like just under a second. So,
well, it was the undercut, wasn't it?
Yeah, the undercut was so strong. I was actually really surprised how strong it was.
Yeah, but this is like vintage Ferrari strategy, isn't it? I mean, everyone saw that the undercut was strong. The main telling point was this was actually Lance Stroll coming in early.
Mm.
He had undercut a lot of, and I know like the tyre offset wasn't going to work in his favour, but it was basically highlighting how powerful the undercut was when you're on those fresher tyres. And we all saw it, but they didn't seem to do anything.
Yeah, but give them benefit of the doubt. They don't have all the data in front of them. They them see what we see, you know, like give them benefit
of the doubt. Oh yeah, they just work behind a blindfold.
Yeah, yeah, they're just like...
And don't you think the most annoying thing was Charles's engineer keep coming over the radio saying, come on, keep going, you've got this. Mate, fuck off, just shut up. How is that helping me? I'd be like, look, if you've got something important to tell me, speak to me. If not, can you just keep it quiet? Like, I'm trying to race here. You don't need him just kind of like, come on, mate. Oh, fuck. Oh, it was really winding me up watching it, and I was speaking to Glenn about it at the time, like, and he was like, is this not pissing you off? And I was like, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the main points. So, obviously, Piastri with the overtake on Leclerc. For me, there's not many drivers I don't think would go for that move. It was a real dive bomb. It was well controlled. It was a beautiful overtake. And this goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier. You know, Piastri is just oozing confidence now. He's just growing with confidence. He's just starting to look more and more of a complete driver.
It's the kind of move that I don't think experienced drivers make.
No.
And I think it's like, that's sort of like the beauty of watching rookie drivers. You know, and when I say maybe experienced is the wrong word, mature drivers.
Yeah.
And that's not criticizing it at all, but like, I would be surprised at this point to see a move like that from Lewis Hamilton or Fernando Alonso. And that's not, I think they're just a bit more patient in, because they know the importance of like not crashing basically. But that's why I love watching these sort of like younger drivers who have that less patience, a little bit more pizzazz, and they're like, fuck it, I'm going for this. Yeah. And you know, like you drew the comparison to Max Verstappen at Abu Dhabi 21. Where, like, I don't think that's a move that a Fernando Alonso would have made at that time. Or Lewis Hamilton, if he was in the reverse, I don't think he would have made the move at that time. So it was good to see. But I do think the most impressive part of Oscar's drive was his defensive driving.
Yeah. Just quickly before we talk about the defence, it could have gone it could have gone completely the other way. He could have dive bombed, ended up locking up, just heading into the wall, and then we'd be saying, oh, what a poor move. However,
but that's the difference between getting right and wrong.
And that's the difference between somebody who...
Well, let me guess, you're going to say Lando would have fucked it up.
He would have been in the wall. no, I don't think. But I agree with you. The most impressive part of Piastri's whole race week, well, the whole race, was his defence. He was so composed. He didn't look flustered. He was, you know, for about 15 laps, Leclerc was about anywhere from a second below to him on every single lap. That type of pressure as a youngster, as a someone who's only in his second year of F1, other people would struggle with that. But he doesn't look flustered.
And you've been listening to the Oscar Piastri fan podcast. Or the Lando Norris Hate Club.
No, I'm talking about Oscar Piastri here.
Okay? I feel like when Lewis retires, you're going to get a Piastri t-shirt.
I like Piastri. Really? I do like Piastri. You're trying to make this into a Lando thing. This isn't nothing to do with Lando here. We're talking about his drive. There is other people. Oh, that's annoying, isn't it?
Keeps overheating.
Yeah.
You need to get like a fan on it. That shows you how hot it is.
Yeah. But no, I think he did a brilliant job. And that's before you keep going about like my love for Piastri, I'm going to stop talking about Piastri.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we said enough on Oscar Piastri.
Okay, let's move on.
This episode.
Right, let's talk about the big incident.
Yeah, so obviously, as I was saying, Baku, typically a very...
I love you, Oscar.
He does. A very exciting track, unpredictable. Shit always happens. You know, you've got 90 degree corners. It's a street track. It's fast, but it's tight. You know, you've got the different sections where, you know, you've got a very long pit straight.
Yeah.
You've got a nice little back straight. There are opportunities to overtake in these certain corners, especially closer to the start when the grid is all bunched together. You've got the castle section. That's just one, definitely not for overtaking, but... Yeah. An incredibly difficult section to manoeuvre. We have absolutely nothing. Okay, we have the little touch between Lance and Tsunoda. Other than that, it's a clean sailing race, mate. Gets to lap 50. I'm thinking like, was it 50? It was 50. Like, no way are we just having a race where that's it.
Always one of the last laps. Look at 21, Lewis restart.
It is. And look, it got very tight, right? Leclerc, his tyres fell off a cliff. I have no idea where it came from, but it came from
somewhere. Rears just went.
He just went. Leclerc was right on the back of Oscar Piastri. And then out of nowhere, his tyres just died, right? Yeah. So all of a sudden, he's moving back, right? Now, he's got Perez right on him. Perez is pretty much stuck with him for the best part anyway.
Yeah.
But now Sainz is in the mix.
came out of nowhere, didn't he?
He came out of nowhere. He closed the gap, presumably because Leclerc was holding Perez up. Mm. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, holy shit, we're coming into this corner, turn one, and it's all looking very close. Carlos Sainz, Perez tries to make the move on Leclerc. I think Leclerc very hard, but fair.
But fair, yeah.
Prevented that from happening. That then allowed Carlos Sainz to come through. I then think Carlos Sainz set himself up for failure when he tried to make that move on Leclerc. He could have actually just tucked in behind him.
Taken the racing line.
And then come out and with what was going on with Leclerc's tyres, probably taking him down that next DRS straight, right? Or at least on the main pit straight. Instead, he runs a little bit wide. All gets a bit awkward. Perez is then very close to him. I cannot tell you what happens after this. I still, to this point, I can't tell you who was at fault for that crash. Because
for me, Carlos Sainz.
For me, Sainz doesn't turn left.
But it's interesting because...
And Perez doesn't turn right.
Julian Palmer did a great analysis on this afterwards. Yeah. And it was all about, obviously, where the white line was. Where Sainz was, he was on the outside of the track near the wall on the white line.
Yeah.
Granted, on his steering wheel, he's just driving straight.
Yeah.
But from an aerial view, that white, he's coming off that white line.
But I also think Perez is moving to the right.
No, I agree.
And Perez has a lot of room on the left of the track. And this is not me saying it's Perez's fault. I'm just fighting both sides here.
But I think this is why they've come out and they said it's a race and incident. That's why they haven't actually given any penalties for anyone. But an interesting thing, and this is going to sound really strange. So I've seen some tweets go, how can he be going left when he's his steering wheel straight? Try it next time you're driving, all right? I was driving, steering wheel straight, but you do start to go over a bit if you don't have the control.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like if you're angled like that, then you're going to start moving over left. Do you know what I mean?
No, I'm straight on the road. Like, I'm on a straight road, but you still start to have a bit of a... Look, from an aerial shot for Carlos Sainz, he's coming off that white line, which looks like he's the one who's going into Perez.
But have you seen someone logged in to F1 24? They fired up the game.
Yeah.
They stuck the racing line on and the racing line peels off of that right hand side. It doesn't just stay like that. Because obviously when you're driving in a straight line, that's when you're at your quickest, right?
Yeah.
So because of there is like slight kinks down there, presumably that's the way that you go in order to keep the car as straight as possible to therefore achieve maximum speed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still to this point, I can't even tell you what happened. I mean, I audibly yelped when that crash happened.
Yeah, I was because
I was like, oh my God. Like,
it took me off my seat. I had to sit up. I was like, what the hell has just happened there? I can't see who's really at fault with it, to be honest.
No, I think we should put it down as a racing incident. Perez was understandably frustrated. Sainz was understandably confused because, you know, he was in front. He wouldn't have seen necessarily the contact coming. Whereas I do think Perez had the opportunity to maybe not be as close to him.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not saying it was necessarily his fault. I'm just saying he was probably the only one out of the two of them who had the opportunity to avoid it.
But going back to what you said earlier, Carlos Sainz got himself out of shape going into that turn, he didn't have to be in that position. But no, I think the disappointing thing is Sergio Perez had a phenomenal race this week, and actually he outperformed Max Verstappen, and he deserved to get that P2, P3, whichever. But ultimately, that's cost Red Bull massively. McLaren now 20 points clear in the Constructors' Championship.
They are indeed.
Perez would have finished potentially P2, realistically, if he got past Leclerc. Mm-hmm. They're only 2 points behind. 20 points now is even tougher. I think, but also Ferrari, you know, Carlos Sainz lost a massive amount of points in that Constructors' Championship as well.
Yeah.
I still think Ferrari will beat Red Bull in the Constructors. I really do. They're not far.
That's a bold statement.
They're not far off. They're only, what, 20 points, 30 points?
Yeah, no, it's getting close.
If Sergio Perez starts to go backwards again, Carlos Sainz, Leclerc pick up those points, Max Verstappen doesn't look like he's going to be winning races.
Who would have thought that?
It's mad, isn't it?
Who would have thought that would be coming out of our mouths in 2024? Even take us back to the start of the season.
Yeah, I would have.
That thought wouldn't even enter your brain.
No, but I honestly do think Ferrari are very likely to get P2 in the constructors. Let me know what you think, but I know some people might think I'm mad, but they're not far off in it. And if Leclerc and Sainz keep picking up those P2s, P3s, P4s, and Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez don't.
Well, I still think Lewis is going to win the championship. But, yeah.
Whatever dream or whatever you're drinking, I want some.
All in all, 7 out of 10 weekend, I would say. Pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
As a Lewis fan, 1 out of 10 weekend.
Yeah.
But as an F1 fan, found it all pretty enjoyable.
But the rookies, Colapinto, Ollie Bearman, you know, picking up points, solid weekend, really delighted for them. It's just unfortunate it happened due to the fact of a crash. And because Sergio, you know, as I said, he deserved some points this weekend. He really did.
Agreed.
But well done to Oscar Piastri. I love you. Right, Singapore. Should we quickly touch on that?
We will touch on that. Obviously, we are at Singapore this weekend, and Matt, can't even remember your name. Matt is going to let us know when it's on, because Singapore's a weird one, because normally when it's in that part of the world, we have very early races.
Hmm.
However, Singapore is different, because it's a night race.
FP1, 10:30 to 11:30.
Lovely.
FP2, 2 till 3. Nice. I feel like we haven't had a sprint race in a while. FP3, 10:30 to 11:30 on Saturday. Qualifying is 2 till 3. And the race on Sunday is 1 o'clock, which is nice.
Right. You know, that's like a typical European race.
Yep. Right, quiz. When was the first Grand Prix held?
2005. 2008.
Oh, number of laps?
Ooh. Ooh. 54.
62.
Bloody hell.
Lap record and held by who? And I can tell you it was last year.
It was last year?
Yep.
A race lap?
Yes.
Sir Lewis Hamilton.
It was.
And it was a 1:32.6.
1:35.8.
Oh, so close.
And circuit length is 4.94 kilometres. So, the question is, and I want you guys to get involved at home, who is your top three for this weekend's Singapore Grand Prix?
You know, what I will say is these are genuinely getting harder.
Yep.
Like 2023, it was a piece of cake.
Take out the Red Bull.
What, as in for
your
this
top
year?
Three.
You don't think Red Bull are in it anymore?
No, not for this weekend.
But it's also getting really difficult because it's like, well, different cars are performing well at different tracks, and but also at different times where, you know, you look at the Ferrari around Monza, a high-speed track. Well, why didn't they show up really in Spa?
Yeah.
And the McLaren that showed up in Monza, why did they not show up in Spa? And then,
okay, you're asking me a lot of questions.
No, but do you see what I mean?
What I need to know, who is your top three?
It's all very confusing. Then we just... I just don't know. I think at this point, you're silly to bet against the McLarens.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Lando, Oscar, Charles.
Okay.
And that really upsets me to not put a Mercedes in there.
I am going to go for Oscar.
Obviously.
Yep. Lando. I'm going to go Carlos Sainz.
Interesting. Why?
I don't know. I have a feeling with Carlos this weekend.
You're just trying to be indie, aren't you?
Yeah,
Oscar
just like
first.
It. Also,
Sainz ahead of Leclerc.
Well, granted, is George Russell the luckiest person ever? He just picks up these podiums due to other people failing. I've never known a driver literally just drive around and go, you know, they'd only spoken beforehand and said, oh, you know, George Russell is basically, you know, been in a race of his own today.
Yeah.
And there he's driving along. It's like playing Mario Kart, and then all of a sudden...
shit houses a P3. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Every time.
And what was it? Leclerc goes, how are you here?
It's always when something happens,
yeah,
George Russell is the man to pick up, like, the charity spot that, like...
Fair play, you've got to be in it.
You've got to be there, you've right? He's very consistent in being in that gap,
yeah,
where he is in a race of his own.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, if something happens up front, he's always just like, oh, wow, look at this.
He's just like, and he just... But he's so delighted, and he's like, oh, cool, yeah.
Well, it's great. It's a nice surprise, isn't it?
No, I know he's delighted, but it's just like his face is like, yeah.
You know what it is, right? It's like putting on an old pair of jeans that you haven't worn for a while, and you stick your hand in your pocket, and there's a tenner in there. And you're like, fucking quality. That's a sound. And that's what George Russell picking these podiums up is like.
Right, so that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you have, leave us a comment. A five-star rating, and you can also put a comment on there.
Five-star review, like we're a restaurant.
Yeah, TripAdvisor. And the camera's gone again. But yeah, hope you have a good week. We'll be back next week reviewing the Singapore Grand Prix. Hopefully it's a good weekend. Get involved on all social medias. Let us know what your thoughts are of what we've discussed. As we said, we will be putting up some clips back on TikTok, and you'll see our faces. Firstly, you know, Luke, good luck this week with your first episode for Waffling.
Thanks.
Hope it all goes well. And we'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.